Hey there, and welcome back to Take One, the podcast that brings you just one foundational page of Talmud each day. And today's page, Bava Metzia, kicks things off with a bang. Get a hold of this. Rabbi Shimon says, even though the sages said that when one party takes possession of a garment, the other party acquires a gold dinar, but when one party takes possession of a gold dinar, the other party does not acquire a garment. In any case, that is what the halakha would be. But the sages said with regard to one who reneges on a transaction where one party pulled the gold dinar into his possession, he who exacted payment from the people of the generation of the flood and from the people of the generation of the dispersion and from the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah and from the Egyptians in the Red Sea will in the future exact payment from whoever does not stand by his statement. There is something kind of world historical, moving, stirring about mentioning all these generations of evildoers. And whenever I feel this, the flutter of the wings of history, you know what I do, right? By now, I pick up the phone. I call the one man, the friend, the teacher, Rabbi David Moshefkin. How are you, my friend?
Liel, what an absolute privilege and pleasure to be speaking with you today. And this is such a strange list, and I'm so grateful that when you take an oath invoking all of the evilness in all previous societies, that I'm the first name that comes to mind to reach out to.
I take great comfort
in that.
No one else.
It is a strange list. This is an oath that is taken when you are reneging on a previously agreed upon commitment, and you invoke the following groups: the generation of the flood, in the famous story of Noah and the flood, the generation of the Tower of Babel. You invoke the world of Sodom, which we're introduced to in the stories of Avraham, Sodom and Amorah. And finally, presciently enough, given Passover coming up so soon, the Egyptians at the sea before it was split and eventually immerses the entire Egyptian army. And if the point of this oath is to instill fear in the hearts of man to make sure that they go through with their commitment, so you invoke all of these evildoers, the question is, why not invoke actual evil individuals? This is a person who is taking an oath. Why not invoke Haman? Why not invoke Paro? Why not invoke a wide, beautiful list that we have of all of our enemies throughout Jewish history? Why instead are we invoking a list that includes like entire generations, like the generation of the flood? Like, who exactly? I don't know any of these people's names. I would be much more scared if I was going to turn into Haman. I would be much more scared if I was going to turn into Paro from the story of Egypt. Why invoke the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, at the precipice of the splitting of the sea? Why not get specific? If you want to scare me, if you're trolling somebody online, the number one way to, you know, troll at the highest level is compare someone to Hitler. Invoke a really evil name. You don't want to invoke just like a generation or a zeitgeist. So why is this the oath that is meant to instill fear and awe in the hearts of somebody who could potentially be lying? Why don't we get specific, and why do we speak about generations? And I think the answer is so powerful and so important for everything that this tractate is about. We are not trying to point to somebody like some Twitter troll and say, hey, that's exactly like Hitler, or you're the new Hitler, or you're the new Paro, or you're the new Haman. What we are actually trying to explain and show is not any individual evildoer or dictator or somebody who we shiver at the evil that they've done to the Jewish people. We're actually trying to show that if you want to understand how society collapses, if you want to understand how community erodes, it begins with you. It begins with an individual. And if you are not going to go through with your commitment and you are going to erode the trust just between you and the marketplace, just between you, a buyer and a seller, between somebody who is going through a transaction with one other individual. And it's very easy when you're dealing on the individual level to say, hey, look, We both know, and the Talmud agrees with this, I'm not going to become Hitler if I go back on my oath. Nothing terrible is going to happen. I'm not so bad. I'm not so awful. I'm not so evil. And that is true, because the Talmud is not trying to convince the person that you are the bastion of evil. What the Talmud is trying to teach with this oath is that what upholds societies, what upholds generations and communities, is the individual trust that we each foster in our own lives, in the way that we interact and deal with others. And if you want to understand the collapse of the generation of the flood, or the generation of the Tower of Babel, or the world and communities of Sodom and Amora, or even the Egyptians at the very edge of the sea, it all begins with a sense of trust. What collapses societies is when we chase imagined ideals that we will never reach. What collapses societies is when we do not stay true to our word, and the road, so to speak, to communal hell is paved with people who do not take those individual relationships seriously. So often we blame our individual behavior on society. And what this oath reminds us, I think so powerfully and specifically in this moment, is that it's the exact opposite. Don't blame your behavior on society, but actually have it in reverse. If you want to understand where your individual behavior can lead, look at the societies that have collapsed. And to realize and understand that what perverts our relationship, what erodes our goodwill, don't blame it on social media. Don't blame it on the discourse on Twitter or Facebook. Realize that behind every ugly discourse and every ugly interaction is an individual. And if individuals do not take responsibilities for the trust that we need to invest in our societies, we end the same way as all of these societies and generations that are evoked in this very oath.
Rabbi David Beshevkin, I promise you I will never again compare anyone to Hitler, and I thank you very much for being our guest.
My absolute privilege and pleasure.
This has been Take One. If you enjoy the show, and I hope that you do, then you are really going to love the new book just published by me. It's called How the Talmud Can Change Your Life, Surprisingly Modern Advice from a Very Old Book. You can order it now at your local bookstore or directly from the publisher through the link in this here podcast description or through that big online store whose logo is, you know, a smile. As always, please go rate and review Take One on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You could get your Take One t-shirts and mugs and other swag at tabletstudios.com, and you could subscribe to our weekly newsletter at tabletm.ag/Take One Newsletter. Take One is a Tablet Studios production. The show is hosted by me, Leah Leibowitz, and is produced and edited by Josh Cross, Robert Scaramucci, Quinn Waller, and Ellie Blyer. Our team also includes Stephanie Butting, Courtney Hazlett, and Tanya Singer. For more information, go to tabletmag.com/takeone or email us at takeone@tabletmag.com. I hope we have made your day a little more Talmudic.